At this hour, Michigan's Board of State Canvassers is meeting to certify this year's general election results. These are the votes that gave Joe Biden an unambiguous victory over President Donald Trump. The Trump campaign's persistent and unprecedented efforts to overturn those election results has drawn in several of our state's top Republicans. We're finding out today whether Trump and his allies have been successful in swaying this relatively obscure procedural mechanism. The state's law is pretty clear that the Board of State Canvassers operates in a ministerial capacity rather than a judicial one. Here's former Michigan Elections Director Chris Thomas telling the Board of Canvassers about their duties.
I think that, first of all, the answer is, of course, you can't vote no. There is no no in the circumstances. Each of you play a necessary role. You're at the pinnacle of Michigan's democracy. You're the end game of the statewide elections for 2020. You know, our system is a zero-sum operation. You got winners, you got losers. We don't have any ties. Everyone doesn't get a trophy. That's not the way it works.
Joining us now is Sam Bagenstos. He's a law professor at the University of Michigan who specializes in constitutional and civil rights litigation. Sam, welcome back to Stateside.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
For starters, can you remind us a little bit about the Board of State Canvassers and what its function is?
Yeah, the Board of State Canvassers, its function is to essentially certify the results of elections, certify, you know, what propositions go on the statewide ballot, that sort of thing. So it has an important but, you know, largely ministerial function in the operation of our elections in the state of Michigan.
And what is the unit of government tasked with conducting election reviews? Is this something that's within the purview of the Board of State Canvassers?
No. So the Board of State Canvassers, what they're supposed to do when election returns come in is, you know, there are boards of canvassers in each of the counties. So 83 counties, each one has a board of canvassers. They tally up the returns in their counties. They certify the results in their counties. They then report those to the Board of State Canvassers. What the law says is that the Secretary of State lays before the Board of State Canvassers the returns from each of the 83 counties. And once they're all there, the Board of State Canvassers has to certify the statewide results of the election, essentially just adding up all the 83 counties. That's their role at this point, making sure all 83 counties have reported and then adding them up and certifying the results.
Is there any history of the Board of State Canvassers having disagreements in the past over elections or maybe issues like ballot titles?
Yeah, I mean, so certainly there has been in the past over ballot questions, you know, various kinds of initiatives. And you know, one of the things that we're learning, that a lot of people in this state and now around the country and even the world are learning about how we conduct elections is, our Board of State Canvassers is constructed on a 2-2 basis, two Democrats, two Republicans. And it takes three votes to do anything, pretty much. And so what that means is if the canvassers from one party decide they're going to get together to throw a monkey wrench in the process, they can. And, you know, we've seen in the past over particularly contentious referenda, you know, if it's a referendum that is likely to favor one ideology over another, occasionally you'll have two members of the party that would be disfavored by it not voting to certify. And, you know, usually what happens is a lot of noise. Occasionally people have had to be taken to court and the court orders them to certify. I think the most recent prominent example we can think of is the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative, the Anti-Affirmative Action Initiative about 15 years ago, when the two Democrats refused to certify the language for the ballot and they were ordered by a court to certify.
So at least there is a pathway forward if we do end up with some result like that today. You and a colleague from Loyola wrote an op-ed for the Detroit Free Press in which you stated that not certifying election results, if this were what the Board of State Canvassers decided to do, that path would constitute a felony. Can you walk us through your thinking on that?
Yeah, I mean, so the Voting Rights Act contains a provision that says that no one acting under color of state law shall willfully fail or refuse to tabulate, count, and report the vote of any person who's entitled to vote. And, you know, what we have here is, if the Board of State Canvassers votes not to certify the elections, or if any one of the board, any one member votes not to certify the results of the elections, or any two members vote not to certify the results of the elections, they will be refusing to tabulate, count, and report the votes of literally millions of people who are entitled to vote in this state. And that is a provision of the Voting Rights Act that's enforceable through a civil injunction in federal court, but also enforceable as a federal felony with a prison sentence of up to 5 years, as well as a $5,000 fine. Now, you know, so this is serious stuff.
Sam, let's just think about this in terms of what might happen. We don't really know if the State Board of Canvassers is going to vote for certification or against quite yet, but let's say that one side or the other, either Republican supporters of President Trump or, say, the state's elections officials, feel like they didn't get fair results, and this gets appealed to the courts. Do you have any predictions about what would happen if a challenge to election certification ended up in front of the Michigan Supreme Court?
You know, I think it's always hard to predict what the courts are going to do. Obviously, judges, you know, make their decisions independently. So it's hard to know with 100% certainty, but this is as clear a legal case as there is. And you've seen in recent days, respected folks from both sides of the aisle, people like John Peerage and Bob LeBrant from the Republican side of the aisle, as Republican as they come and knowing as much about Michigan election law as anyone, as well as folks on the Democratic side of the aisle, saying what the Board of State Canvassers has an obligation to do here is to certify the results of the election. The 83 counties have reported. It's their job to add up those totals and certify those results. I have a hard time believing the state courts are going to disagree with that. Again, this is something that across the political spectrum, people have in recent days made clear they agree the board has only one option.
Sam, we've been hearing for months now about the array of lawyers on both sides of the presidential contest. We're now down to a series of allegations about vote tabulation in Detroit that several courts have looked at and pronounced unfounded. Could you put yourself in the Trump campaign's shoes for just a moment? Was this the best argument that they were able to put forward about why Michigan's results should be discounted?
I mean, I guess they were. Look, here's the thing. This is an election where the presidential race in Michigan has been decided by over 150,000 votes, right? So that is a very large margin. You are not going to find in any election irregularities that are going to in any way call into question a margin like that. You know, so if we were talking about like 100 votes, 200 votes, couple hundred votes, maybe. Remember 4 years ago when Trump won this state by 10,000 or so votes, there was a recount that looked like it was on track to, you know, before it was stopped, looked like it was on track to change maybe a couple hundred votes, right? You know, so that's what we're usually talking about when we're talking about questioning the results of an election. You know, maybe a few dozen, a few score, maybe a few hundred votes at stake. When you have a 150,000 vote margin, I think probably your best play, if you're Donald Trump, is to throw a bunch of mud at the wall, say a lot of things about fraud, use a lot of misleading statistics, like these statistics about unbalanced precincts, which first of all, the folks on the Trump side are giving the wrong numbers. Secondly, those numbers actually don't tell you anything about whether there were any improper votes cast. That's what you do if you don't really have anything. And unfortunately for the Trump campaign, I don't think they have anything here. There's just nothing that can call into question this 150,000 vote margin.
Sam, we have a minute left here. Extraordinary efforts were put forward by clerks in just about every county, city, and township and the Secretary of State's office to make sure that access to the ballot would happen this year. What else can we look forward to in making sure Michiganders have the right to vote?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think what we had happen this year was, thanks to the constitutional amendment in 2018 plus COVID, this massive increase in use of mail-in absentee ballots. And it took this enormous effort on the part of both the Secretary of State's office and local election officials to make that work efficiently, including by Chris Thomas, who you just had the quote from at the top of the segment. And you know, I think what they're going to do, I think they did a great job of implementing that under extreme stress, but I think they are necessarily going to look back. They're going to do the audit that people have asked for. The Secretary of State has said she's going to do that. And, you know, she's been a big supporter of audits since before she was in this position. And they're going to see what they can do to make it easier to vote, but also to make sure that the vote is cleanly administered. You know, but I think the crucial takeaway is the extraordinary job they did in managing a process where so many people were able to vote, and the votes were able to get counted in this situation of extreme stress.
University of Michigan law professor Sam Bagenstos.